Well, today we are dedicating our new hymnal, but first a quiz. Please finish the lines of these hymns. God of the sparrow, God of the... Here I am, Lord. Is it I, Lord? All right. I'm going to live so... Little Cat Stevens. Morning has broken. Well, you did pretty well. These songs and many others are part of us. They may be heart songs, songs that have found a place in our hearts. And here's the deal. All of those songs, plus many others, were unfamiliar to Presbyterian congregations before the 1990 hymnal, the one that we're giving away. Many of the songs that were new to us in 1990 are now favorites, heart songs. So when we hear, why do we need a new hymnal? What's the matter with the old one? Nothing, of course. There's nothing wrong with the old hymnal. It served us for a generation. There is nothing more wrong with the 1990 hymnal than there is wrong with the photo album that you put together in 1990 of your family. It's a great photo album. It's great looking through the pictures of the family album from 25 years ago. But since 1990, your family probably looks a little bit different. The existing members may have become a bit more mature. Some, sadly, are not there. There may be some new family members. So it was a good thing we didn't stop taking pictures 25 years ago. We have tended to grow fond of some of these new family members. So we ought to take their picture with our cell phones and load them on our computerized photo album. That's different than from 1990. My mother has stacks of photo albums. She took from the time she was married in 1948 all through the 1950s and up just to a few years before she died. She also inherited photo albums from her mother, and she kept those photo albums she got from her mother-in-law. When I made a family history book about 15 years ago, I took many of those old photos and reproduced them as well as new photos at that time and made a new album of sorts. I had to be selective. But in doing so, I was creating our family story again, and it's probably time now to do it again. In a similar way, the church's hymnal of our larger Presbyterian family gets updated about once per generation. We look different than we did 25 years ago. We've grown. We've changed. Our photo album, our hymnal, reflects that change. So there's nothing wrong with the old hymnal, but there's something right about a living, vibrant tradition that continues to recreate itself. Many of the hymns have become, like our theology, less focused perhaps on beliefs and doctrine, as was important with John Calvin, more metaphorical. More hymns reflect our multicultural reality, more inclusive in language. More hymns focus now on social justice, and they have been added over the years. Singing, of course, has been a part of our spiritual and religious aspect since the beginning of religion. One of the oldest texts in the Hebrew scriptures is Miriam's song. Miriam was the sister of Moses, and she sang a victory song after they crossed the sea and escaped from the Egyptians. The Lord has cast horse and rider into the sea, was the song. One of the oldest texts, actually, in the Bible was a song. The Psalms, of course, were ancient Israel's hymn book. Likewise, music has been part of Christian worship since the church began. One of my favorite Bible stories is Paul and Silas singing in jail. They've inspired more than one protest movement. Throughout the medieval period, the Gregorian chant was the music that shaped worship, mostly sung by choristers. Martin Luther gave the church an upgrade, in part by enlivening the music. He took popular tavern tunes and put theological words to them. So when you think of it, you can imagine singing loudly, "A mighty fortress is our God," while waving your beer stein. Luther realized that the people would learn their theology through music. He wrote many congregational songs to popular tunes. And Luther was somewhat of a liberal. He would allow any text to be sung in worship unless he deemed it unbiblical. John Calvin, a bit more stern. Only scriptural texts put to music were good enough for him. and such as the Psalms were put to music without any accompaniment. And so there are songs from our new hymnal from the Genevan Psalter of 1551, such as number 330, Our Help is in the Name of God. Then as Presbyterians moved to Scotland, they formed their psalter, the Scottish Psalter. An example is on page 168, Within Your Shelter, Loving God. Presbyterians sang these metered songs from the Psalter all the way until the early 1800s, and some branches still sing only metered psalms. Other traditions were a bit more creative than Presbyterians. We have a number of hymns in our hymn book created by Isaac Watts, the father of English hymnody. I Sing the Mighty Power of God is one of those, number 32. And Presbyterians have even allowed Methodist heresy to make it into the hymnals. One of my heart hymns is Charles Wesley, Love Divine, All Loves Excelling. That's number 366. The Second Great Awakening led to gospel songs in the 1820s. Fanny Crosby and others made music for revivals and for camp meetings. We sing some of those, such as Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine, To God Be the Glory, Open My Eyes That I Might See. There have been 7 hymnals in our stream of the Presbyterian Church in the United States. The first one was in 1831. And this was the church's first move away from singing only songs in worship, or psalms, that is, in worship. Do you think there might have been some controversy about that move? The next hymnal came out, in which they got rid of all the good ones, in 1874, 40 years later, when the new school and the old school of the Presbyterian division reunited. The old traditionalists and the new wave of kind of gospel types split earlier, and then they came back together, and so a new hymnal was created in celebration of that reunion. After that, the next hymnal was published during the heat of the fundamentalist-modernist controversy in 1911. Then they appeared about every 20 years. The next was the Green Hymnal. Anybody remember that one? There we go. 1933. In 1955, the Red Hymnal was published following World War II and the height of the Cold War. That was about the same time that Southminster started. In 1972, Presbyterians came out with the bluish-gray worship book. Does anybody remember that one? I'm not sure. Maybe you did have that one here, didn't you? Okay. That was about the time Jim Peterson arrived. And Jim was here through a couple of hymnals. He was here over a generation, and the hymnal that we've just finished using was published when he was here as well in 1990. And that hymnal came out when I was in seminary and was the hymnal that nurtured my own children. Since 1911, it's been about every 20 years or so, or a generation, that the church feels called to revise our photo album. And there's only so much room. You need to add new pictures? Well, what do you do with the old ones? Well, some are keepers that you never want to lose. Some were interesting for a time, but, they can be replaced. When our Presbyterian family needs to update its photo album of hymns, it wrestles with what hymns are our heart songs, those ones that we want to keep and pass on. And what hymns, as we, as a new generation, are singing and we need to add. So the formation of the committee that put together this current hymnal began in 2004. The new hymnal was published in September 2013. And not one of the members of this committee, I know many of them, but not one of them is completely happy with it. What that means is that no individual person agreed with all the decisions of what hymns to include and what hymns to leave behind. This congregation, even just this, the people here, would never be able to create a hymnal that everyone would like. But of course, it's not about that. It's about the breadth of songs that speak to our hearts. It isn't so important that I always sing my favorite heart song. It's more important that I'm in community with the person next to me who knows a different and appreciates a different heart song. And if we learn each other's songs, our hearts might grow even more. This new hymnal has about 800 hymns. Half of them are new. That is, they have not been in previous Presbyterian hymnals. About 60% of the 600 hymns in the 1990 hymnal are in this new hymnal as well. So it's a mix of old and new. The order of the hymnal is such that the saga of the Christian story is seen in its fullness. So as we sing the hymns, we are singing the theology of the church. Some songs are new. I mean, people are writing hymns every day. Some will be from the global church. These are hymns from different cultures. They will have different rhythms, different challenges for us, and different delights. They will help us recognize that we're all neighbors. The first two hymns that we're going to sing in just a minute in our mini hymn sing are from that 19th century American gospel tradition. I love to tell the story and Leaning on the Everlasting Arms. I sang them myself growing up Baptist. You may have known them as well. Leaning on the Everlasting Arms, by the way, has made popular by Iris DeMent and Alan Jackson. They bring a little of the American South to the Pacific Northwest. And for the rest of the worship service, we're going to have a mix of hymns, singing, and a few poems. And I will make, this is the longest part of my address, I will make a brief introduction to the hymns as we get to them. So get your hymnal, stand up, let's get singing. Here are three new songs for our photo album. Now, our theology changes as we change. It should. One of the huge changes that have happened in the last 25 years, this last generation, is theological language for God. Our metaphors for God reflect the variety of our human experience. Thomas Troeger's hymn, Source and Sovereign, Rock and Cloud, uses a variety of images for God. These images shine a different hue on the traditional metaphor of the Trinity. The next hymn, Glory to God, is the title of the hymnal. This hymn may be the hymnal's signature song. These words are the words of the angels to the shepherds sung in a Peruvian tune. And this third song, Give Us Light, Give Us Life, Give Us Peace, is a beautiful song from India. Let's stand again. Inclusivity is a major theme of this new hymnal. The committee was intentional about including hymns that celebrated diversity and inclusion. The words to the hymn, For Everyone Born, A Place at the Table, were written by Shirley Irina Murray. The hymn was evoked, as she put it, by the UN Declaration of Human Rights and her involvement with Amnesty International. She said, it should be sung in a spirited pace. The second song, When Hands Reach Out and Fingers Trace, was written by Presbyterian minister Carolyn Winfrey Gillette. The hymn celebrates the breadth of human diversity and the variety of gifts and abilities through which God's people serve the church and the world. And it's to the tune, O Wally Wally, a traditional English melody associated with the song O Wally Wally. It's also known in the Appalachian region of the United States, a little Appalachia for the Pacific Northwest. Final peek at our photo album with a few more new hymns. He Came Down is a Christmas song celebrating the incarnation. It's a traditional Cameroon piece. As the Wind Song Through the Trees is another beautiful song by Shirley Irina Murray, and the music was composed by Lim Swee Hong of Singapore. He's the author of the book Giving Voice to Asian Christians. Hallelujah, We Are Singing. This is a Muskogee hymn. Hallelujah is the Creek word for Alleluia. This hymn is a Trail of Tears song, a testimony to their faith that was more powerful than the mistreatment of those who took away their homelands. Revered and cherished, it remains the most popular Muskogee hymn in churches in Oklahoma. And the closing hymn, Siyahamba, is Zulu for We Are Marching or We Are Walking. This hymn is from South Africa and has been popular since the 1990s, and now is new in our new hymnal. My friends, with a song in your heart, and all of God's people said,
Amen. Amen.